This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:16. You're listening to the evening edition with Sharmila and Lynn. And now we are moving on to a story about UMNO. And UMNO.
Why not? Because that's just what's in the news cycle at the moment.
Yes. So if you somehow missed all of the big news that happened late last night, the UMNO Supreme Council has decided to withdraw their support for Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin. This decision came less than 12 hours after the Prime Minister announced that UMNO Vice President Dato' Sri Ismail Sabri will be appointed Deputy Prime Minister. Meanwhile, Dato' Sri Hishamuddin Hussein was offered the post of Senior Minister.
So this was announced by the party president, Dato' Sri Ahmad Zahid Hamidi, who also went on to list a number of, I guess you could call them requests, demands, calling for the Prime Minister, Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin, to step aside for an interim Prime Minister to take over instead, and that the interim PM should focus on the people's welfare and remain in power until the country achieves herd immunity against COVID-19. UMNO would not support any efforts, they say, to install the opposition leader, Anwar Ibrahim, as Prime Minister. And the decision to withdraw support is because of the Perikatan Nasional's government's failure in managing the pandemic and in fulfilling people's aspirations and expectations.
So quite predictably, this has set off a whole new round of speculations, questions on what this means moving forward, because let's not forget, UMNO formed a substantial part of the government. So there have been calls, of course, for the Prime Minister to resign because many see this as an indication that he's lost the support of the majority of the MPs. There are suggestions that a caretaker Prime Minister should be appointed, for instance. So lots of things to unpack, and that's what we're going to be spending the rest of today's show figuring out. And we'd like to hear from you. Are you following all of this drama? How are you feeling about UMNO's recent moves? Call us, 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And now joining us to help make some sense of this is political scientist Wong Chin Huat. Thank you for joining us, Chin Huat.
Thanks, Sharmila.
So let's start with, I think, the obvious question. What do you make of all of this? What do you make of UMNO opting to exit Perikatan?
UMNO has been talking about it since February or even earlier. And it always say that once that the emergency is lifted, it's going to lift the government. And its original plan is that there would be a quick elections, and so UMNO can become the largest party in the next coalition government. And therefore, it does not want to cohabitate with Bersatu, is latest and most threatening splinter, because they are like brothers going after the same love interest.
And how do you think yesterday's DPM and senior minister appointments factor into the Supreme Council's withdrawal of support?
Well, the Prime Minister made the two appointments to please UMNO leader and grassroots to justify UMNO staying on in the government, because UMNO has always been complaining that it has been sidelined in position. However, this is also seen by party president Zahid as a malicious way to control UMNO, so that you're going to have someone staying in the government preventing UMNO from pulling out and so on. And I would say that UMNO move is strategically the smartest, because it mentioned nothing about the appointment, but rather to say that it's going to exercise its threat earlier with a 14-day ultimatum. If the parliament is not reconvened immediately, then we pull out. So it exercise, materialize its threat. And if the government get collapsed, then of course, whoever get appointed as DPM and senior minister would last there for only a few hours.
So does this withdrawal of support have an immediate impact on Muhyiddin's government and his position as PM?
No. The main reason being this, that we have to separate a negative majority against the incumbent and a positive majority for his or her replacement. So definitely we can see now that the Prime Minister is a de facto minority Prime Minister. His government is a minority government. However, his enemies, his critics cannot unite to present an alternative. For that reason, he will stay on in power. His government can be brought down when the parliament is fully open with a royal address, with a budget, because no speaker can prevent all the MPs to vote on the royal address and on the budget. And once this tools, the government loses in either of on either of these, the government collapses, regardless whether or not you have an alternative. Before that, the only way for you to do is to go to the palace, and how it has worked so far is that you need to present a positive majority for the replacement. So it's a constructive vote of no confidence created by convention since 2009 in Perak.
And how do you see all this potentially affecting the upcoming parliamentary sitting?
This is very interesting. It comes down to a question whether UMNO is going to punish all its MP who refuse to leave the government. Because those like the Zahid and Najib, the court cluster, and maybe people like Tengku Razali, would be happy to move to the opposition side. But if the remaining MPs from UMNO are going to stay with the government, it only shows that UMNO is split. But if no one is moving over, then UMNO cannot make real of his threat. So it would be an embarrassing situation for UMNO. If UMNO decide to sack all those who insist to stay on the government, then of course they might be unwittingly sending these defectors to Bersatu camp. This is a tough game for UMNO.
So speaking of that, actually, it's been reported that UMNO President Dato' Sri Ahmad Zahid Hamidi has apparently given 38 UMNO MPs the freedom to submit their no-confidence votes against the PM. Is this likely to happen?
Not at all. Not for this 5 days sitting, because it would be very restricted to the National Recovery Plan to lay before the Houses on the emergency ordinance and proclamations. Now, you can defeat the government on that to show that the government majority has been shaken, but you cannot claim that the government has formally lost its majority. We are no longer living in 19th century where a loss of government bill will cause the government to resign. May Telesa lost, I think, four motions on Brexit before she resigned.
And I also wanted to bring up something else that was mentioned, which is Zahid also proposing an interim prime minister. What would this look like? I mean, who do you think would also be their candidate of choice?
Now, to bring out that is really what UMNO wanted all this, has been wanting all this while, because UMNO think that the prime ministership is their job. It should be reserved to them. So whenever they get into power, they want to get it back. And they cannot, since they cannot wait until after the election, since election is not possible now, they want it immediately as the condition for ceasefire with Bersatu. But why would Bersatu do that? But in the more interesting question we need to ask, if you go by that and you go by the party hierarchy, the person who really should be UMNO choice for interim prime minister would have been Ismail Sabri. But Ismail Sabri is exactly the senior minister who has been in charge on all our SOP and so on. So if you think the government has failed, how can you say the minister in charge of this has been successful? Now, this is really the question we need to ask. We unfortunately have very poor politicians who want the job. It is fine for you to want to compete and get to the top job. Nothing wrong with that. Completely fine. But the question is that you should compete that even with just as a pretense that you have better policy. We do not see any debate on policy. You're just basically people who come forward and say, the job should be mine or should be ours.
You referred earlier, of course, to factions within UMNO. There is, of course, also talk that not everyone in UMNO is in agreement with this withdrawal of support for Perikatan. How might this impact what happens next, especially as we look forward to GE15?
Now, that would be a very interesting question. The most important question we need to ask is, where would UMNO state governments stand? Is control Johor, Perak, Pahang, Melaka and Perlis? Now, why this is so important? If UMNO decide to break UMNO would have to sack all the MPs in the government. It's fine because in the elections, if UMNO still control the ground in terms of popular support, then they can always find new candidates to win back the seats. However, the tricky question is that until election is called, UMNO will be officially the opposition. Now, how do you sustain yourself? The current opposition has been able to sustain themselves because they control at least one or two state governments. Now, if UMNO state government decide to side with the federal, then whoever control the party machinery would be really counting on party loyalty, party identification. And that's a tricky question because UMNO has been so long depending on patronage as as the momentum that keep the machine running. So suddenly, if you want UMNO grassroots and voters to choose between party labor and also patronage incumbents' advantages, if you like, not necessarily they would choose for party labor. So that's a tricky part. But if the state governments all fall in line, and that's likely because you have the entire Supreme Council is going on that line, but if they decide to make up their mind, then UMNO would survive, and that would be an open showdown in GE15, and we'll be looking at which is stronger, party labor or incumbency advantages.
Are you anticipating the formation of new coalitions and alliances in the coming weeks?
It's possible. One trigger could be the rising numbers of COVID cases. Now, very simple reason. The government claimed that by these two new appointments, the situation is going to be more stable. Now, that's assuming that Zahid is not going to fight back. And suddenly, UMNO is fighting back. So the entire government now and most of his minister would be fighting for their own survival rather than fighting the pandemic, fighting to revive the economy or whatever their respective portfolios. So how can they do a better job when they have to worry about themselves first, right? So it's very likely we're going to see a spike in that number. Now that would eventually push us to two solutions. One is that for the government, as a minority government should reach out to the opposition, they could go out to PH Barisan or the tiny minor parties and seek confidence and supply agreement so that they can survive in the parliament and therefore stabilize the situation. Alternatively, UMNO should withdraw the unrealistic conditions that it's not going to join with Anwar as a new coalition, with Anwar as the prime minister, without DAP and so on. Basically, you are the second largest group in the whole parliament. How can you demand things when you're not big enough? So either way, they have to find a way to work, or the public anger would probably push them, would punish them later in the elections, if not earlier.
Chin Huat, thank you for speaking with us today.
Thank you so much.
That was political scientist Wong Chin Huat talking to us about all the moving and shaking that UMNO has been doing over the last 24 hours. So keep those thoughts coming. Have you been following the drama? What are your thoughts? You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And coming up after this, popcorn culture. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.